I have the absolute right to declare a national emergency. I haven't done it yet. I may do it. If this doesn't work out, probably I will do it. I would almost say definitely.
President Trump speaking today on day 20 of the government shutdown over funding for a wall on the southern border. This is on track to become the longest shutdown in history on Saturday when we reach day 22. Shutdowns like this one are a relatively modern phenomenon. The first one ever was in 1980. So whose idea was it to close the federal government when lawmakers and the president couldn't agree on how to fund it? And how did they settle those disputes before? For answers, let's bring in historians Brian Ballow and Joanne Freeman, hosts of the weekly podcast Backstory. Welcome back to you both.
Thanks Good for having here. Us.
So, Joanne, we mentioned that government shutdowns have only been happening for a few decades, but you say that our early federal government may as well have been shut down because it wasn't getting a whole lot done.
Well, it was certainly really small, right? The historian John Murin described the early federal government as a midget institution in a giant land. So the whole government was small. The administrative state was really tiny. A great example of this is what would happen in the course of wars, like the War of 1812 or the Civil War. You would have the army built up for the purpose of war and then largely demobilized once the war was done because it wasn't needed anymore. Mm-hmm. So let's make it smaller. I'd say the two ways in which the government most reached out in this period would have been customs houses at ports that were collecting customs duties and the post office, which to some people at the time would have seemed like it was the government.
Brian, there were some early examples of lawmakers going AWOL at times when they were needed.
Well, not just lawmakers, but actually the Secretary of War. I mean, we have this great story about a Frenchman who had fought with Lafayette in the American Revolution, and he pays a visit to the Secretary of War in Washington, D.C. Now, Washington, D.C. was pretty new in 1796. Anyway, he expects to see a sentinel, nobody there, walks into the building. He sees two clerks, and he says, "I'm here to meet with the Secretary of the War." And, you know, they say, "Sorry, he's getting a shave at his neighbor's house." So I think he was even more appalled, this Frenchman, when he learned that those two clerks were the War Department. That was it.
They said, "He'll come back if you build a wall."
Oh.
So to early Americans, therefore, the idea of shutting down the federal government as a political maneuver wouldn't have made a lot of sense.
Yeah, it was pre-shutdown, if you want.
Well, certainly they wouldn't have gotten it in the way that we're experiencing it now, just as you're saying, as some kind of grand political gesture that's supposed to have a big impact. I mean, they understood at the time things like congressional log jams and, you know, the government being sort of stuck on an issue for a long time. But as far as a shutdown, it's just that the government was so small. It's not as though what we're calling this grand shutdown really would have had much of an impact. I mean, just look at Washington, D.C. at the turn of the 19th century. It was basically a handful of big government buildings scattered amidst lots of vacant plots of land and some small wooden buildings. Someone at the time said that Washington looked as if the British Museum suddenly migrated to the center of an exhausted brick field. Hmm. So, you know, it's not the metropolis that we imagine it today. And as far as the number of people in the federal government, around the time when Thomas Jefferson assumed office, so right at the turn of the 19th century, there were only 153 federal employees working in Washington. And over the next 30 years, although the nation's population increased 150%, that number barely doubled.
So what did they do, though, about funding disputes when the White House and lawmakers were not on the same page?
Well, sometimes they bargained. You know, I mean, if you want to go down to the first—
That sounds awfully old-fashioned, Joanne.
I know. Silly me, that whole debate and compromise thing. But it's true that, you know, if you go all the way back to the first Congress, you had essentially the ultimate logjam in Congress over Hamilton's financial plan. And the way that that was resolved was a backroom bargain. I mean, that's actually the room where it happened in the Hamilton
musical.
Oh,
there you go.
There
Yeah,
it
a
is.
More dramatic example. I totally agree with Joanne, but a dramatic example was President Jackson, who hated the Bank of the United States. And when Congress rechartered the bank, its charter was going to expire, Jackson just vetoed it. But that wasn't enough. He then withdrew all of the U.S. funds from the Bank of the United States because the bank still had another couple of years before it would have come to an end. So they did stuff like that.
Now, take us a little bit closer to the present, Brian. The government gets a lot bigger. It takes on more and more responsibilities. And then in the Carter administration, they decide that the government will shut down if Congress and the president can't agree on how to fund it. How exactly did that happen?
Well, in the past, Congress had been a little late, let's say, with appropriating funds, but the government had not shut down. Workers stayed in their jobs, and they got paid pretty quickly, and they did their work. Now, you have to remember, Jeremy, that what a lot of this is about in the recent times is really a tug of war, a partisan war. We're seeing that playing out right now, of course. And Congress and the presidents were often very much the same after the New Deal, and Congress was virtually always Democratic. But under a Democratic president, Jimmy Carter, and a Democratic Congress, Carter's attorney general stumbled across an old law from the 19th century that said, no, you actually have to shut down the government if there's not an appropriation. And there was a one-day shutdown, one day because, in fact, they were from the same party, Congress and the president, but a one-day shutdown, and the Federal Trade Commission had to start packing up their files. They canceled their court hearings, and Congress appropriated the money, and the next day they were back at work.
But you're saying this is all because of an old law from the 19th century?
It's an interpretation. Benjamin Civiletti, Carter's attorney general, looked at this law, and he said, no, wait a second. You know, we actually have to fine the head of an agency if they operate once the appropriation has expired. Hmm. And that got their attention.
So what about when we get closer to the present? 1995, this is the shutdown that everybody talks about. This was the longest one. Newt Gingrich leading Congress and Bill Clinton in the White House. A tussle between the president and the House played out through the longest government shutdown ever.
That's right. Note, we now have the first Republican Congress in decades, headed by a guy who was pretty determined to shake things up in the Congress, Newt Gingrich. He was also determined to slash government spending. And he said, we're going to close this deficit. We're going to slash programs like Medicaid and Medicare. And Bill Clinton said, no, you're not. And they duked it out for 3 weeks, and that was the first time that the government was shut down for a prolonged basis and that people's pay was delayed. 800,000 workers, similar to the number of workers out right now, were affected by this.
But the thing is, and this gets to the point of do we ever learn from history, Newt Gingrich looks back on that and says that was a huge political mistake. It did not work out well for him, and yet here we are again. Why has nobody learned that lesson?
Well, you know, Jeremy, you always feel it's the other guy who's going to get it in the neck, right? I mean, actually, Bill Clinton came out of that smelling like roses.
Now, Joanne, when you look around the world, do other countries do this? Do they have government shutdowns when they can't reach a deal on funding?
Well, I don't know if this will or won't surprise you, Jeremy, but the short answer to that question is no. Other countries don't do it in quite the same way that we do. I mean, they certainly have standoffs and strikes, but as far as a shutdown where entire institutions of government are shut down and employees don't get paid, that's really more of an American tradition, as short-lived as it might be. In other countries, when you have that kind of a financial disagreement and a budget or some kind of a financial arrangement is voted down, that's often taken as a vote of no confidence. And then you're talking about a change of government. So the United States is special in this unique shutdown tradition.
So they use the metric system. They have Coca-Cola with sugar in it instead of high fructose corn syrup and no government shutdowns. Okay.
There it goes.
There we are. Joanne Freeman and Brian Ballow, hosts of the weekly podcast Backstory. Thanks as always. And hopefully next time we talk to you, the government will have reopened.
That
Thank
would be
you,
nice.
Jeremy.